Our scripture reading this morning is from John 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Throughout this season of Lent, here at Bethel, we have been taking a close look at tears as they take place in the scripture and in the life and ministry of Jesus. We saw the tears of God that he shed over his beloved creation, but his damaged and twisted and distorted creation. Indeed, we read about how when the Son of God came to the earth, he was called the Man of Sorrows. We noted in Scripture and we noted in our own lives the pain that happens. Pain caused by death, pain caused by evil and violence, oftentimes which we ourselves have felt ourselves to be victims. We've seen tears of disappointment, tears of frustration, tears at God for our not understanding his ways and the way that he works. Why does he allow such terrible things to happen to us? We wondered through our tears. This Lent, we saw tears that were tears of love, and we saw them also as tokens of gratitude that we offer to him. And we've seen tears of regret over the spiritual ignorance that remains within us and that remains in the world, the trouble that people so unnecessarily bring on or allow to come into them. All of these tears were tears shed along the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. And that way was Jesus' way. Carrying his cross from the place of his condemnation to the place of his death, it was his Via Dolorosa. It was Jesus' journey from the time of his incarnation in Bethlehem, which we celebrate at Christmas, until the very end of his days here on earth. It was for him a way of sorrows. It was his Via Dolorosa. This Via Dolorosa, this way of sorrows, is also our journey. For each one of us have been called to pick up our cross and carry it. We are called to carry our cross in imitation of and behind Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus on this difficult path and still say glory to God. Today we come on Easter Sunday to the end of the Via Dolorosa. Behind us are the tears of the cross, and before us stands the grave. So this day begins yet with tears. For gravesides, cemeteries are appropriate places for us to go to shed our tears. And the text that we read shows us Mary, Jesus' friend, a woman from the Galilean village of Magdala, and therefore she is called Mary Magdalene, for she was from the village of Magdala. Mary had been part of Jesus' community through much, most, it seems, of his ministry. Sometimes we think that Jesus walked around just with 12 men, but actually there was a much larger group of people that followed Jesus, at least 70 people, and Mary was one of them. Mary was a woman who had given up a lot of her life so that she could follow Jesus. And she went following him, heard him talk, heard him teach. She saw the miracles, she saw the healings, and she learned so much about God, and she learned so much about life by following Jesus. She knew him well. She hoped for so much that was to come through Jesus. She believed in Jesus. She was so happy following him, learning from him. And then he died. He died in a terrible, painful, shameful way, as a criminal, as a traitor, as a rebel. What happens when someone dies, when someone you love dies? Well, your hope dies along with that person. There were things that you hoped for. Your expectation of the future makes a big shift in the face of death. All those things that you thought that person was going to accomplish, all you thought that you would do together, all those hopes and dreams and expectations, they all crumble into dust when death makes its appearance. When death comes, you say, "It's over." And you say, "Well, what's left? What's left after death?" Well, there's memory, there's respect, there's these fond feelings. Sometimes many of us can go to a place where our loved one has been laid into the ground, so we can go there and stand trying to get close to that person, and you sit in quiet and respectful remembrance. That's what we do. That's what death does to us. So on Sunday morning, the very first opportunity she had, Jesus died on Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath, where you couldn't go into a cemetery. Sunday morning, the first work day of the week, she went in the morning to the cemetery to pay her respects, to demonstrate her love, to do all those things that she did, that we would do when we have been bereaved. And what did she find? She found desecration. She found a horror show. A lot of people had loved Jesus, but a lot of people really hated him too. And people who hate can be incredibly mean, irrationally cruel, and hurtful. What could be more cruel, what could be more disrespectful than stealing a body to rob the community of the opportunity to grieve in a healthy way. And at that morning, what would we say to Mary? We would say, "Weep, Mary. Weep for the death of your friend. Weep for the death of your dreams. Weep for this latest and newest manifestation of evil in your life as you see that they have taken away the body of your Lord. Weep for the death of your dreams. Weep for the death of your faith. Weep for the death of God." How many people in our world, in our society, in our community, don't weep for God's absence in their own lives? Those who have an ache in their heart, a spiritual empty cavity in their souls, that God-shaped place that echoes unfilled within them. Well, on this very first Easter Sunday morning, Mary of Magdala believes that her personal Via Dolorosa, her way of sorrow, will never end. She believes now that she will walk the painful path forever because Jesus is dead. He has been taken away, and it is for her a life sentence. When Mary sees a couple of people in the cemetery, actually, they're inside the tomb, but that doesn't seem to register with her. I think she's so freaked out by what's happening. She says almost plaintively to the two people that she sees, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Well, so blinded by tears is she that she doesn't recognize them as angels. And when she turns around, there's a third person standing there, and she doesn't see either that it is Jesus himself who is standing before her. And Jesus asks her this question, "Why are you crying? And who are you looking for?" Now, those must have sounded, and it's just true, those must have sounded like the two dumbest questions that anyone has ever asked anybody. "Excuse me, sir, I'm in a cemetery. I'm standing in front of this tomb that was recently used and now is inexplicably empty, and I fear the evil that caused that emptiness. I'm at the scene of a nightmarish crime, sir. Excuse me, but I am undone by grief, and who wouldn't be?" There are so many reasons for Mary to cry. She had gone to see the mortal remains of one she loved, and now she thinks she will never find him again. She was stricken because she did not recognize Jesus standing right in front of her. And she's not the only person to have made that mistake. How many have not recognized Jesus when he is presented to them, when he stands in front of them, when he reveals himself to them, and people put up their blinders and say, "I don't want to see this. I don't want to acknowledge this." Well, for Mary, Jesus broke through all that blindness, the blindness caused by her sadness, by her hopefulness. And he did it by speaking her name. He said, "Mary." What eloquence there is in that one name. By saying her name, Jesus is saying, "I am here. I am alive. I know you and I love you. I am with you. And because I live, you need not ever be alone again. I'd like to do something. I'm going to count to three, and after three, I'd like you to just say your name. Just say your first name. Say it out loud, please. Okay. One, two, three, Bruce. Your name has been spoken in the house of God. Your name has been spoken in the hearing of God. And to you, with your name being spoken, Jesus is saying to you today, I am here. I am alive. I know you and I love you. I am with you. And because I live, you need not ever be alone again. With the saying of her name, Mary's Via Dolorosa, her way of sorrow did come to an end. And with the saying of your names, I pray that you receive by faith the good news that says that you too are known and called by God. With Jesus saying your name, your Via Dolorosa comes to an end. And by the grace that is given to us, we begin a new road. A new road, we turn the corner, we call it the Via Gaudium. The Via Gaudium, that's where we are. That is Latin, and it means the way of joy. Because now, we are past the way of sorrows. We are, by the grace of God, the people of the risen Lord on the way of joy. It is joy because we have seen the Lord. He is alive. He is victorious over all that darkness, over all that disappointment, over all that pain, all those things we've been talking about now for weeks. He has conquered them. And He walks with us into the light. Well, thanks be to God on this Easter Sunday morning. And may peace be yours as you walk on this happy road, as you live out the rest of the story of your redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.